VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And our regular listeners understand completely the rules of the game here. And those rules are that callers go to the head of the line. Good morning, Camille.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Never better. How about you?
Good. I'm a big fan, but I was a little late getting on. And I don't know if you mentioned this at all, but I've been wondering about this whole 100 days that everybody's talking about and how important it is and, you know, did Trump succeed or did he fail? I mean, what is that all about?
Depends who you ask, doesn't it?
do you think there's... I think he's doing great.
I give him an A+, and I give Paul Ryan a D-.
Okay, I'll go with that.
But I would rather see the House do a good job of major items. We are, after all, talking about 1/6 of the nation's economy, soon to be followed by the tax code. Get it right or don't do it at all. That's the rules. But back to Trump. The way I look at this, there are two types of issues that Trump is working on. One is the social issues, and while they matter a lot to me, of course the economic issues make a lot more difference in my life and that of our listeners.
You're talking about taxes?
I am very much talking about taxes. Mm-hmm. A quick mention, the social issues to me are topped by the simplest thing that he did that was also very, very difficult, and that's to keep his promise and put a conservative judge on the Supreme Court, and he did it.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy.
No, and it was record time for a new president to do. But if you look at the other things, the financial things, it is incredible how many things impact investors and people living their own lives financially. Let's start with the Keystone XL pipeline and the smaller one up north. What's that going to mean? I have a trivia question about that that I'll bring up in the second section, but it's about the increase in prices. We used to be strangled by OPEC, and
right
now we are not. We have so much more control.
Well, supposedly we've got great reserves now for the next 100 years.
Yeah, there are various estimates, and all of them are longer than 100 years. Some of them are 200, 300. He opened up federal lands for exploration for oil and gas. That might even get us more reserves for an even longer time, and it will, again, keep us in more control so we don't waste a lot of our own dollars sending the money to OPEC. Which, incidentally, is its own problem because with our money that they get for their oil, they can invest in things like training terrorists, which...
You know, you're bringing up something that I was thinking about, too, is why is gas going up when we have so much of it?
It always does because of the demand in the spring, and then it always falls back after the summer's over.
It's actually up a lot less this year than the average.
And the actual numbers are going to be my trivia question, so
of course I'll
go into the exact ones. Yeah. Well, yeah, you can. It's how much, what would be a normal increase for this time of year? And they're only up 2.8% this year. The question is what would be an average year?
Are you asking me?
If you want,
you can take a shot at it.
Yeah.
Okay. How about 3.75%?
Way too low.
Too low?
Way too low.
Normally it's up a lot more mm-hmm. in anticipation of the summer driving season.
Yeah, they want to get people mm-hmm. for Memorial Day and the 4th of July mm-hmm. and then Labor Day, and after that, then they'll drop back down. But that difference was brought about, first off, by an overwhelming supply that we've had for over a year, but also the control factor of being able to do it ourselves. He has lifted the handcuffs off of the coal miners, the drillers, the explorers, yeah. and all of that's going to accrue to our bottom line as consumers.
You know, didn't he also say that we were going to make all the piping right here in this country?
Absolutely. If there's a manufacturer that can make it, we'd buy first. Aren't you astonished to find out that we weren't doing that? Not at all. I wish I were.
Everything's cheaper imported from overseas.
Yep. I really wish I were surprised, because that tells you that we all know what trouble this country was in, which had more than a little bearing on who's in the White House right now. All right, yeah. How about this one? Consumer and business optimism. They're creating jobs. Jobs create customers. When Adam goes through the market wrap and tells you about it, he's going to tell you about what's improving in corporate America. It's not just profits. It's revenues. For the first time in ages, companies are selling more
because there's more consumers. You know, I think it's even more than that. I think it's attitude.
Okay. I'll tell you, day-to-day in our office, we see people, and a lot of them we've seen for years, that come in routinely. Some of them are new. I could tell you the moment that the attitude changed, and it was on the 9th day of November. And it was just like night and day, the smiles on people's faces. It's incredible.
Well, I know. We're smiling.
Yeah, me too. Look at the stock market. Now, if that doesn't impact.
Especially this week.
Well, isn't it funny? For the second time in under a year, a European election affected our market dramatically.
Yeah, that's true.
The first time was the Brexit vote, and we didn't like that one, but they love the French vote, even though I think they're going to be wrong. I think Le Pen's going to win, but who cares, really? So it is funny that there's that much impact, and you never know which way it's going to go, because the old-fashioned types who don't ever want to see anything change are not necessarily on our side, which I find hysterical. Anyway,
there's a lot of people out there writing about what's going on and giving it a slant that, you know, sometimes it leaves me wordless, the way they take things and twist them and make them seem negative when they're positive. And it drives me crazy.
Want to hear a great term for that? That's a conclusion looking for evidence.
It's true.
I heard that on TV the other day, and I just loved it.
That's a good one. I remember that.
As I was prepping for the show, and I did a piece on the new tax proposal, I couldn't find an article that treated it as a positive. They were all negative, and it was all about, this only benefits
the rich. I just read recently that the press is like 98% negative when it comes to Trump. I think it's 100%. I can't find anything.
It's very, very difficult. But you want to know this tax thing? He's only given us an outline, generalities. Now they're complaining that he hasn't put numbers on this and that. And we will talk a lot about that.
Well, Adam's I have that same complaint a little bit.
Yeah, the point is, we got to get people accustomed to the concept of taxes under Trump, or it's never going to pass. And that's why I think he's doing it the right way. But that's just my personal opinion.
But it leaves a lot open to interpretation.
It does. But let's talk about the number one thing that Donald Trump succeeded in his first 100 days. It happened at noon on January 20th when
You're not asking me if I know, are you?
Well, that was the moment Hillary Rodham Clinton did not take the oath of office. How about that? Can you imagine where we would be 100 days later?
Great.
Thank you. And what a great question, because today is the 100th day, as most everybody knows.
And, and it feels pretty normal to me.
Sun came up, didn't it?
I don't see anything happening.
Well, maybe it's tomorrow the sun doesn't come up anymore. I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right, you take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's been quite 100 days. You just got to figure it out. So after the break, Adam's going to do the market wrap and talk about taxes, and I'm going to play the color role and all of that, because I got a whole bunch of little trivial stuff on it. But remember the trivia question too, and we will get to that right after the break. So don't go anywhere. Line up your questions, and we'll see you right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And now for my open, as they say on TV. I love getting phone calls at the beginning because it makes me think, it makes Adam think, and hopefully it'll make all you think. So for our regulars, welcome back. Thanks for being here again. And if you're just driving by and happen to have your car radio on, or if somebody's told you about us, whatever it is, thanks for listening in. Try to stay the whole hour. You know, only 5% of people who listen to talk radio will ever call a radio show. So do you want to be a 95%er sitting on the porch, or do you want to play with the big dogs at 5%? All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 904-222-TALK, 222-8255. We will dictate the content of the rest of the show unless you want to change it. Not all financial shows let you do that, but if you would like to talk about your topic, then all you got to do is give us a call. And as you saw already today, callers go directly to the head of the line, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. The whole concept of having radio means that there's a whole bunch of people that are just listening, very few people talking. Imagine in that 95% group, how many questions there are out there. Why would you listen to a financial show? I can only think of one reason. Well, maybe two. Maybe you're an invalid and somebody else has it on. But seriously, you'll listen to a financial show to learn things. Not everybody knows a great deal about what's going on in the world of finance, and us financial types have a lot of subjects where we don't know a whole bunch about what's going on, but that's why there are weekend expert shows, and there are people out there who will hang on every word for the callers, because those callers are asking real world questions about honest to goodness investing, personal finance, anything that's on their mind. So do everybody a favor and get your questions together. Give us a call. We're more than happy to hear from you. Meanwhile, the trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And it is, as we mentioned with Camille, the general increase in gasoline is, or the increase so far in the price of gasoline this year is about 2.8%. But historically, this is the time when it rises a lot. To the nearest percent, what would a typical year's gasoline rise be by April 29th? It's a number, and it's bigger than, I'll round it up, it's bigger than 4, larger than 4%. All right, this week in the market, Monday and Tuesday were a lot of fun.
Yeah, they were.
And Friday I was scared to death. Because Thursday night they had made the announcement that they weren't going to do the healthcare vote, and the market pretty much shrugged it off on Friday, which I thought was a very, very good sign. Agreed?
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't that worried about it. I don't think the expectation at this point is that the healthcare is going to be the first major legislation that gets through under Trump. I think the tax plan is probably... I don't know that this is going to happen, but I have a feeling that that might be the first thing that gets through.
You know, the excuse for doing them the other way, the reason slash excuse, is that they want to credit the savings from the Obamacare fix to put it over on the tax side so they can give us a bigger tax cut. You know, I have about a 10%, maybe a 10% confidence that that's really the exact way to do it. I don't think it makes a bit of difference.
No, in fact, I would personally... It's going to affect me a lot more under the tax side is than the healthcare side. But I know there's probably a lot of people in the opposite boat, too. So
far more people are concerned about their taxes than their Obamacare, although they are both good, true, big issues.
Yeah, absolutely. So it wasn't just the U.S. that had a nice rally this week. In fact, the U.S. had a nice rally, but the real rallies were happening overseas, unless you were invested in Canada or China. Everywhere else pretty much rallied this week, and some places in Europe were up by almost 5%.
Well, you know why Canada, don't you?
Socialism? I don't know.
No, because Trump's going to slap a duty on imported lumber.
Oh, I did see that, yeah, but I think he's just threatening that to work out a deal.
Of course. You know,
he said, his style.
Read the book, folks. This is the art of the deal. You tell Canada and Mexico you're canceling NAFTA. Both guys call him and beg with him to sit down and talk. And what he really said in the campaign, what he really did was, now he gets to renegotiate NAFTA. Yeah, that's exactly. The art of the deal.
It's true.
I loved it.
You have to over-ask so you can meet in the middle.
Precisely. Of course, the media is all over him. Oh, he said he was going to, you know, geez. Yeah. If you listen to that stuff, folks, you'll be old real soon.
So what actually happened in our markets was that the S&P gained the least of the three indexes and was still up 1.5%. The Dow gained 1.9%. And as we've seen lately, the NASDAQ was the big winner, gained 2.3%, and also crossed over the 6,000 mark, something that has never happened before.
Yeah. Predicted right here not too many months ago.
It took the NASDAQ 6,256 days to go from 5,000 to 6,000. A 1,000-point move took that long.
Good thing we're patient.
Yeah. So if you bought some QQQ, or as it was known back in 2000, QQQQ, mm-hmm. It is finally worth more than you paid for it back then. So
don't factor in inflation. You're not going to like the
result. That may have not been a good investment. But at the time, it seemed like a great idea because the NASDAQ was shooting straight up, and then it plummeted. It actually... came back down below 2,000 before crossing 6,000. So that's quite a move in the last 15, 20 years.
That's the truth.
So I'm not sure if this is a sign that Armageddon is upon us, but Apple, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook are now the five largest companies in America. All of the big tech stocks, and although Amazon is technically classified as a consumer stock, it's really a tech company.
Anybody in their right mind knows it's a company.
Anyone who thought the internet might just be a fad, I think that has been disproven.
Well, I remember going along with the crowd back in the 2000s and so, mid-90s on up, I guess, saying, well, yeah, that's Amazon's a great idea, but they're never going to make any money. Whoa.
Yeah.
I take it back.
They proved you wrong. So earnings season really shifted into high gear this week with a lot of big-time names reporting. And as it stands right now, it's looking very good. 68.1% of companies that have reported are beating on earnings.
And that's a good number.
It is. But more importantly, 66% of all companies that have reported are beating on revenue. And if you've listened to the show over the last couple of years, you know that we have been looking for a solid revenue quarter. And this so far looks like it might be it. You have to go back to 2011 to find a better beat rate on revenue than where it stands right now.
And the first quarter GDP, while only 0.7, was estimated to be 0.2 or 0.3. And Trump's not responsible for the first quarter GDP. He wasn't even inaugurated until January 20th.
Right.
Well, Watch the GDP rise this year.
It's always low in
the
first quarter.
It's always low in the beginning. But you don't get, and this next week is going to tell the next level, but we're getting a jobs report. The jobs are directly related to what's going on in there. You can't produce more revenue without more customers. You can't have more customers without people with jobs. You can't produce more stuff without people working for you. It's a great, big, wonderful circle, this whole economics thing.
Yeah, and I forgot the term last week, but it's actually called a virtuous cycle. It's the opposite of a vicious cycle. It's when good events happen and feed off of each other. So that's kind of
that's
what's going
term.
On here.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to get into a feeding frenzy necessarily and wind up with labor shortages and material shortages, but that is not an issue that I'm going to worry about.
No.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you this morning?
Never better. And you?
Terrific. Terrific.
What's up?
Well, I do a little bit of investing. I don't pretend to be an expert, but I kind of watch the markets, and I've, I'm involved in a chat room of people that do investing, and it seems to me that the markets seem to react quickly to news of something about to happen, like a tax initiative that Trump's talking about, or the Keystone pipeline. There seems to be a fairly quick jump in markets when there's some sort of news, but that dies off, and it doesn't seem to be followed up later on by the actual happening. I don't know. I just wanted you guys to comment on that, whether or not you think you see it the same way, or if you do, why do you think it is that way?
Wall Street has a name for it called buy the rumor, sell the fact.
Yes, I have heard that.
Yep. When rumors come out, they will generally make the market move in a positive direction, and then by the time the actual event happens, whether it's exactly right or different, then they just sort of say, oh, that was fun, I'll take the profits and run.
You have to remember, too, the markets always overreact in both directions. So you get a rumor, everyone wants to be the first to buy in and capitalize on that rumor, whether it's good or bad. And so you'll see the overreaction, and then by the time the event comes around, it's already priced in. So,
and I might say also that thank goodness that happens, because without volatility, none of us are going to make any money.
No, that's true. But it kind of makes you realize that there's, once again, there's not really a correlation between the markets and reality. I mean, just the rumor of something causes a spike in, you know, like infrastructure bill might be introduced into legislation. So right away, all the construction company stocks, you know, start spiking, and nothing's really happened yet. I mean, just, I don't know, I think it's kind of amusing.
We studied this in the 70s in MBA school. The closest correlation at that time that anybody could find to the stock market was the migration of sperm whales off the coast of California. Now, tell me what's cause and what's effect there. No. Correlation and causation are not the same thing. Yeah, that's it's a great observation. Unfortunately, the music's playing. We got to run. Want to take a shot at the trivia quickly? We got a few seconds.
12%.
Still light, but a good guess.
Okay.
It makes it a good year. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break here, finish the market wrap, and then we're going to start talking about taxes, 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 less taxes. We hope. I've got some uneasiness about some of the plan that I'll share with you, too. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a tremendous announcement. We have decided that this half hour of the program will be brought to you absolutely free. How about that?
All right.
You want
savings.
Well, it's after tax day. Everybody's got to save a little. Actually, our announcement was, this is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things are growing like weeds out there, including the weeds. Mine are getting really bad. Call Troy at 662-9794. All right. Wrapping up this market by looking forward, what's coming up, do you think?
Well, there was a couple of other things I wanted to mention before that.
Okay.
The consumer sentiment came out this week, and it slightly missed its forecast, 97 versus an expected 98.
Down from astronomical to huge?
Yeah, it's still a really solid reading. And one interesting note was that they actually, when they're doing the polling, they figure out who, what groups are optimistic and what aren't. And politically, guess which group is optimistic?
Oh, how many guesses do I get? One?
Just one.
That would say the conservatives.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, guys. What happens if there is a hot war with North Korea? Then how do we correct 10%, 20%, or what do you think?
Good question.
Yeah, and I think you're in the range.
Yeah, I think any type of major type of conflict like that would definitely cause a correction at this point. I can't predict how far down it would go. There's just no way to tell, but
it won't last long.
Yeah, I think it would be temporary in nature, and we've been talking about this all week, but it really seems that North Korea has overestimated their own capabilities, whether or not that's just posturing or they really aren't sure of what they can do. But their last two missile tests have been complete failures, and a lot of their posturing seems to be just that.
And so, we're spreading rumors that we caused those. We're denying it actively. Is the dog wagging the tail or is the tail wagging the dog? But let me tell you a little something about history. After every major terrible event like that, 128 days after the event, the market is up on average 17.9%. And 128 days after 9/11, it was up 18.9%. Don't let that shake you out. It is not a time to sell. It's a time to look for a bottom and buy. reacting to something like that will cause one thing for sure, and that is that you'll lose money on it by reacting to it. So, investors don't make as much money as their investments do because investors think too much and do things too often. So, yes, your point is very valid, I believe, and I think your estimate is very valid. And I also think that by September you'll have forgotten about it. And the people who won't forget about it are the dead ones in North Korea, and there will be a lot of them.
Yeah, South Korea, too. That's the
unfortunate part.
We need to get something over there that's an interceptor. We do not have that capability close enough to North Korea to stop that thing going to Seoul. I think that's a weakness right now in our military, and we got to get it over there. We can shoot down some things. We can launch against boats, but we do not have a good interceptor, as far as I know, that can reach that in the short time it would take to get it to Seoul. So that's a huge problem. And I know guys like Mattis are on it.
Well, you know, didn't we help co-develop that Iron Dome that Israel has that,
yep,
you know, shoots down the missiles that they're coming in? I mean, we could use that in Seoul.
Absolutely. In fact, there's some of that going in over there. If you Google it, you'll find a few stories about what we're doing over there. We are preparing that very type system. I just don't know that we're ready yet. Of course, we won't tell Kim Jong-un when we're ready either. You know, Trump doesn't, he's not like Obama. He doesn't tell you exactly what's going on. That thing might be in place already, for all I know. The stories in the press don't make you think so. But I'd kind of like to think these guys are all over it.
And this is not a new issue. I had a college roommate who was in the military right after college and was based in Seoul. And that was his. I remember having conversations with him 20 years ago where he was. That was the concern back then as well. So it's not like we haven't had time to prepare for this. We just haven't done it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the inbreeding in the royal family has created worse and worse people. This guy actually thinks he has an IQ above room temperature. He's wrong about that too. It is a concern. There's no doubt about it. In fact, most Americans think that's a bigger concern than Iran is.
I would agree with that right now.
I would absolutely agree with that. I'm one of them. But your point is well made, and I hope mine is. Reacting to these things is the worst thing an investor can do. If you have money in the market that you need in under 5 years, you should be rethinking the theory of being in the market. You have to have enough safe money in there so you can take your risk in the market, and that way you'll never get killed, financially speaking. So something to think about for everybody. And a wonderful question. Okay. You want to take a shot at a trivia question? How much would gasoline normally be up, and we know it's more than 12%?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How much would gasoline in a normal year, how much would gasoline have risen in price up to this very day, and it's a number greater than 12%?
15%?
Another great guess, and it's still low. It's quite incredible when you think that we're up under 3% this year, and it's somewhere above 15 normally. So we can all put that in our pockets right at the pump. How about that? All right, I hope we've addressed your question well enough.
Thank you.
We do appreciate the call.
Thanks, Chuck.
That was a good question because fear. Actually, remember the series the listing I did last week about long-term events in the market and how that we had the crash of 87 and we've had 9/11 and we've had all the things that have happened, and yet in that time the market's gone from 3,000 to 21,000. So it proves one thing above all else: the resiliency of our market is spectacular.
I did a study on this last year as well, on terrorist events and how they affect the market, and what I found was really interesting, that over time it takes less and less time. Well, the reactions get less, and the recovery time also goes down as the world gets sort of numb to these events. Unfortunately, it causes less and less financial hardship or reaction in the markets, and it takes less time to recover. So you have to think that even a major event like that wouldn't have the same impact that it did, say, 20 years ago.
There's also an auxiliary benefit when something like that happens. You get rid of the little dictator.
Yeah,
ultimately, would create some more stability over there. But look what China did when the Chinese president was over. They actually sat down and talked. They'd scheduled a 15-minute talk, and it went something like 4 hours. he turned back a supply of coal that was coming in from North Korea. They've put 150 or so thousand troops on the border of North Korea. And you can bet he's not playing nice with these guys. And if North Korea is so stupid that they aren't listening to China, then we are going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know who will solve it. I would think that the Chinese probably have the ability to take down something that's flying towards Seoul. It would be interesting to be in a situation where they could do more to help than we could. It doesn't bode well for the state of our country, but the state of our country, military-wise especially, is improving dramatically.
It is, but those things take time.
They do take time. Absolutely take time. All right, carry on, please.
Okay. So what's in store for the market this week? To be honest with you, I have no idea, but I do think that if earnings season continues to go the way we think it'll go, I think that the market will react positively over the next month. Now, will that happen next week? I can't say.
I'm not going to give you a date, but I'm sticking with my 22,000 forecast. I will give you a date in general this year.
Okay.
I'm going to mean that until I'm proven wrong, and that would take till December 31. So, yeah. I do think you might see a lot sooner than you think, though.
You never know. Yep. The way this market's going, anything's possible.
But we're just getting indicators of the whole economic situation out there. And when this tax law comes in and we can really take a look at it, it's hard. Now, we'll talk a little bit about what he's going to do, but there's so few specifics. It's really just an outline. It's really just there to set the tone for negotiating some kind of a real-world settlement. There's also a great fallacy out there with tax simplification. That's not about to happen, in my opinion. I'll get into that a little bit, too.
Yeah, definitely. So, one note. Did you see what new home sales prices did in February?
I heard that the Case-Shiller Index came out, but I did not see it.
So, the estimate was a 0.4% increase, and it actually doubled that.
Wow.
0.8% in the month.
Wow. If you are a carpenter, a bricklayer, an electrician, or anything of that sort, get ready.
Yeah.
Some overtime coming.
Absolutely.
And when that comes, then you can go out and spend it all and stimulate the economy. See, what's that cycle called?
Virtuous cycle.
Virtuous cycle. I think we're right at the beginning of it, and that bodes very well for the market. Stick around. We'll be back after another little break and wrap up all kinds of things on taxes, what's going on, and what to expect in the markets and out. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are talking taxes, but we still have a trivia question open. Gasoline is up just under 3% for the year. And what would that number normally be? What's the average increase this time of year? We know it's above 15%. Okay, tax plan, Trump style.
Yeah, so he came out this week with a proposal. And there are a lot of good things about it. My biggest complaint is that it's very light on details. And when you're talking taxes, we all know it's very, very complicated.
That's where the devil is.
Yeah. And so to not put out those details, it leaves a lot open to interpretation on both sides. So you can look at it in a positive light, which a lot of us do. And some of us, like the media, tend to look at it on a negative light.
Why? It's so funny you would mention that. I happen to have a number. I did a Google search. 4,150,000 hits on the Trump tax plan, and I had to read pages and pages to find a positive comment.
Yeah, and most of them that I was reading were around how it only benefits the rich, but that it's just not true.
There was one that said it's only going to benefit Trump.
I saw that as well.
I'm sorry. No man is an island in taxes. There's exactly. A lot of you and you and you in every bracket.
Exactly. So the big things, the highlights, there would be only three tax rates, which really might be four if you include the 0%, because a large portion of people would fall into that category and pay nothing, and they already do. So there's that. But the three actual brackets are 10%, 25%, and 35%. Now, under the original plan that he proposed when he was running, the 10% rate was 12% and the 35% rate was 33%. So some minor tweaks there. And the problem here is that he did not say where those brackets start and end. So that makes a huge difference.
That means there's only one deduction that, and that's probably not the right word to use talking taxes, but there's only one conclusion you can draw from that that's absolutely valid. The very top people will save some money at the margin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So right now the 15% bracket is pretty large. It goes from income of $18,550 all the way up to $75,300 for a married couple. So if most of that income bracket, the 15% is going away. So if most of that shifts down to 10%, then that's great. That's a 5% savings. But if most of it goes up to the next bracket at 25%, that's terrible. You're paying 10% more on that income that you used to pay 15% on. So that's why the complaints about the lack of details. So the other thing is that shifting the tax brackets around doesn't make filing any easier. It just changes it. So yep. You still have the same complications. The calculation of what you owe once you have your income is really simple. So just changing the brackets does not make anything more simpler. It's just different. So
that's unfortunately, they're pushing the concept of simplification, and I'm promising you,
it's not.
You can't do that. They want to do that this year. I told Adam in the break, Congress couldn't correct this tax code and make it simple if we gave them until 2020, and that's the only thing they were working on, and that's the truth.
So one thing that will make things a little easier is the standard deductions. It's almost double. The proposal is almost double what they currently are. For instance, if you're married, the standard deduction is currently $12,700, and then if you're single, it's $6,350. The new plan raises that to $24,000 for married and $12,000 for single. During the campaign, he actually promised $15,000 for single and $30,000 for married, so he brought that down a little bit. But it basically is going to allow you to not pay taxes on the first $24,000 of your income, which is great.
Now, there's a question that I brought up to Adam on the break, too. Those of you who know enough about taxes to understand the first page and second page items know on the top of the second page is something called the personal exemption. You get an exemption from taxes, essentially a deduction from your adjusted gross, and it's prior to taxable income. It's $4,100, I think, or $4,050 or $4,100, I can't remember for sure this year, for every yourself, your spouse if you have one, and any dependents. So if you've got a family with two kids, you get $16,000 something off your income. So under that plan, you get $24,000 and then another $16,000. So your first $40,000 you wouldn't worry about at all, and that's before you take out any 401k or any of that. But no one has said a word about exemptions that I have been able to find.
I haven't seen it either.
And what it looks like is they're preserving page one, and page two is where all the monkeying around is going to happen. And if that happens, I think the exemptions might be in trouble. And that, I think, is egregious because it promotes no kids. Our families are not growing fast enough. Most of the countries around the world, that's true. If it weren't for immigration, our population would be static or declining. Mm-hmm. And that is not good for your Social Security, much less mine.
That is absolutely true. So some other things that happen, they're a little bit of negative on the deduction side as well. Only three things made the cut. Mortgage interest, charitable contributions, and retirement savings would all still be deductible. Everything else is going away. So this should matter less for people because the standard deduction is going to be higher. So more people will be filing with the standard deduction than itemizing.
That's a good thing.
One big thing that's really going to hurt if you don't live in Florida and you happen to live in a high tax state is getting rid of the deduction for state and local taxes, or SALT, it's commonly referred to, the acronym. That is about $100 billion per year.
You know that tax trick that all the millionaires and billionaires are pulling.
Moving to Florida.
Yeah. Open the doors, Florida. Here they come.
Exactly. Because if you live in a high state income tax place or city income tax place like California or New York and some of the cities there, that is a big deal because those taxes that you paid the local municipalities were formerly deductible and now would not be. And if you have high property taxes, that's another one that could be going away.
I'll tell you, it's not going to make up all of the difference between a 39.6 payer and a 35% payer mm-hmm. with those non-deductible taxes. That is going to hurt.
Now, one of the real simplifications is getting rid of the alternative minimum tax.
Yay! Which,
finally. So the AMT, that's one that they always say is only for rich people. And that was true when it was started. Unfortunately, they forgot to index the AMT for inflation. And now it affects a lot of middle income earners. And
it's, I got it last year.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
And I don't mean I got money. I got hit with it.
And not only is it an added cost in terms of taxes, but you actually have to calculate your taxes twice. So you do it under the normal rules, and then you have to do it again for AMT, which is a different system, and side by side compare them and then pick the highest one. It's a terrible system.
It was invented because of, I think it was 23 or 29 families, something like that.
Really wealthy.
Who had all these loopholes, as they love to call it, so they didn't have to pay any taxes. What we call loopholes, what you all call loopholes, or they, or whatever, we call the tax code.
Exactly.
They file perfectly legal taxes and don't pay any taxes, and that means they're loopholes? No. It means the tax code needs improvement.
So until the year 2000, AMT only affected about 1 million Americans per year. Since then, it has gone to 6 million Americans every year that pay AMT. So that's 600% growth in 17 years. That's
There's no comfort normal. In knowing how many brethren I've got.
Yeah, exactly. So the treatment of capital gains taxes would also be changing. It eliminates the 3.8% Obamacare surcharge, which lowers the top capital gains rate from 23.8 down to 20.
Yay!
That's another one that the media loves to say only benefits the rich.
Yeah, right. You should see the number of people that file capital gains on their tax returns. It's humongous.
I mean, if you have any investments outside of retirement accounts, you're probably going to have some capital gains. The death tax would be eliminated. Not as big of a deal. I like that it's getting eliminated, but the way it's set up right now, if you're a married couple, you have about $11 million of exemption, so it doesn't really affect that many people, but it's still a horrible tax. It needs to go away.
Yep, that one I stand on principle. It will never affect me, but the principle of the thing is you paid taxes all your life, and then they got to pay one more time when they're dead.
It makes no sense.
It's ridiculous. Now, there'll be some capital gains provisions and things like that are thrown in.
Sure.
But the whole concept of getting rid of it is just marvelous.
Absolutely. And lastly, the business tax rate would be lowered to 15%, and there would be a one-time special rate for companies with profits held outside the U.S. to bring them back here. They haven't said what that rate will be, but I'm guessing 5 or 10% for a one-time repatriation.
When Bush did it, he did it at 5.25%, and the naysayers say, well, yeah, but it all went to stock buybacks and things like that. You know, if you give me anything, I'll give you the liberal slant on it, the reason it's no good. The fact is, this is a wonderful proposal, and as we get more and more into it and we start getting some feedback as to brackets and that sort of thing, we'll keep you posted on what it actually means to you. In a normal year, gasoline would be up 17.8% by the 29th day in April. This year, it's up 2.9%. Again, it's because we are taking control of our energy supply. Thank you, President Trump. See you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.